You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. And today, I have Hannah Brencher back on the show. I have had Hannah on twice before. I love every time I get to talk to her, and this time felt especially fun. I feel like we've both done a little growing up over the last 6 or 7 years or so, and it comes through in this conversation. We were just able to be so real and not have to be experts about anything, but just talk about what it means to be able to step away from our phones, be able to get a little bit of perspective and quiet and live in the moment. I found this book to be incredibly challenging, but in the best way possible, and also really comforting to see her going through these things and figuring these things out. It was an excellent read. It was such a good challenge, I feel like is the wrong word, but like prompting to be more present in your life. It was a message that I didn't even really think I necessarily needed, as we talk about in today's episode, but I really appreciated once I got into it. Her writing is beautiful. She does such a good job, and this conversation was so much fun. So let's not waste any time. Let's jump right into this episode with Hannah Brencher. Welcome back, Hannah.
Hello. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. Whenever I see the little subject line that says, Hannah Brencher has a new book, I'm like, yes. I don't know what it is, but yes.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me.
Absolutely. I feel like it's kind of interesting because I feel like you've been on this journey with me over the past few years. Mm-hmm. Because my first book of yours that I read was Come Matter Here.
Okay. Yep.
I read that. I had just left my abusive marriage like 10 months before. I was house sitting for a friend. I remember reading it on her back porch when we were there for that week. And it was just like, it hit me. It was like so everything I needed to hear. And then a few years later, you had, what's the next one? Oh my gosh, I can't think of the name. It's got orange on the cover. It sat on my
Fighting
desk.
Forward.
Yes, Fighting Forward, which was like right what I needed. And so like over and over again, you keep hitting me with everything that I need to read. And then this one, I didn't think I needed to read this book, if I'm going to be honest. It's like, oh, I don't think that's for me. I'm busy. I'm a mom of all these people and I've got businesses and like, I can't afford to unplug. And then I read it and I was like, okay, never mind. I really needed this.
I love that. I love that so much.
I want to get into, I mean, at first you should probably introduce yourself, but then I would love for you to talk about like how this even came up, how you started writing Unplugged Hours, what made you want to go there?
Yeah. So my name is Hannah Brencher. If we have not met before, I am an author and a writer and an online educator. I love teaching people the power of routines and rhythms and disciplines. I have such a passion for people showing up fully to their lives and being intentional with their lives. And so I have found a lot of that, especially through my mental health journey, through the power of routines and rhythms. And so unplugging has become a daily rhythm in my life that I honestly don't know if I was like fully expecting. But at the time that I did start unplugging, I can look back and be like, man, I was tired. I was exhausted, really. And I always felt like I couldn't take a break. I couldn't slow down. I couldn't pump the brakes because I was holding it all together and I had to keep holding it all together. And I think that is what tech has maybe wired us to think and believe, is that like, as long as we have these tools in our hands, like we're actually in control. And so I remember so clearly that it was my birthday and I was sitting in a quiet time, kind of like dreaming up what I wanted the next year to be about. And in the midst of that, I just heard so clearly in my spirit, turn off your phone. And it wasn't like a turn off your phone once. It really felt like a turn off your phone and keep turning off your phone. And I started to do that. I printed out a little tracker for myself and I started tracking every hour that I was unplugged, and it ended up transforming my entire life in a way that I was like totally not expecting. And still to this day, I'm learning so many crazy, awesome things from just the power of unplugging and the unplugged hours.
It's when, like I said, I didn't really think that I was going to need to hear this message. And then as I was reading it and hearing all the different things you had to say and the different things that you were discovering and realizing how much I was grabbing my phone to be distracted or to like try to fill every little second with something, it was, you don't even think about it until you start intentionally paying attention.
Absolutely. And I think it's also completely normalized. We're all doing it. We're all on our phones. We all need our phones for various junctures of our days. And like, so it's almost like, I remember when there was like a Netflix series that came out on like the connectivity with our phones and how our apps were developed. And I remember in the midst of that, having a lot of conversations with people, but no one brought any kind of like solution to the forefront. Like no one was like, oh, and for that, I'm going to start powering down. Like, it's almost like when I've been having these conversations with people, it's like, oh, we're really not ever taking a break. Like very rarely, or like almost involuntarily do we take a break from our phones.
And I think that we can, like, the more it amps up, the more we don't realize that that is happening. And you just get caught in this spiral. I feel like, especially this summer, because a lot of things have changed about my podcast and jobs and like needing to kind of shift gears and try to find like other ways to provide for my family and whatnot. So I was like putting in applications and doing all these things where I felt like I was needing to check my email all the time and see if I had responses from people. And like, now I don't need to keep checking it, but I find I keep checking it. And then I'm like, why am I even here? Yeah, I don't even need to. So you just get caught in that spiral if you don't intentionally make a decision like, okay, I'm not going to do this. That's where you have to, like, I think, start from.
Absolutely. And like what you just said, like our brains, they're wired for dopamine, and dopamine comes through our phones. It also comes through like going for a walk outside, sunlight, good conversations with friends, reading a book. But those are like more, they're like less readily available. They require a little bit of effort to go and get that dopamine. Your brain dopamine available right there. I don't think that like it differentiates between, oh, this is social media, or this is a banking app, or this is an email, or this is a little virtual game that I'm playing. Your brain is saying, it's dopamine. I need it. I want it. And here's the cheapest, fastest form to get it.
Yeah. It's literally the definition of addiction.
Like, yes, absolutely. It absolutely is.
Getting a hit. Yeah, for sure.
And I think to go to that point too, though, like for some reason, we're just like not willing to call it that. Like we will call other things addiction. And because I think this one is more readily like socially acceptable, like we're not going to put it in that category. But I'm like, I think we have to like look around and realize like this is a problem. Like this is not, we can't just talk about screen time for the kids. We have to talk about ourselves as the adults and what kind of lifestyle this is creating for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that we have to, I mean, it starts with that paying attention. It starts with actually noticing what it's doing to us, but we have to take it a step farther than that, because I think a lot of people are like, well, I could put it down if I need to, but I think we have anxiety about putting it down. I know I have that feeling of like, what if one of my kids needs me, or my parents need me, you know, or what if something happens to someone and nobody can reach me? Like there's an anxiety of like, but I can't put that away. Like I need to have that near me, or something bad could happen, because we're so used to it. And it's not until like, sometimes I have to pause, and my boyfriend and I will even talk about this and be like, when we were young, like there were whole spans of time where no one could get a hold of people. Like that was
the
norm.
We left the house. We had an answering machine. Well, and I think too, what like the important thing that I kind of learned was that it was like, I've read a lot of tech books. I've read a lot of books on the digital landscape. And what we see a lot of times is we see this very much like all or nothing mentality. We're either going to move to flip phones, or we are just going to continue on how we've been doing it. And when I set out to start unplugging, I really just wanted to know, like, is there a balance that can be struck? Can I strike a balance? And the thing is, I would tell you, like, don't turn off your phone if you think one of your kids are going to need you. Like, don't, like, if you have a parent that might need you, like, could you put your phone away somewhere with the ringer on? Like if somebody needs you, they'll absolutely call you. But what I was realizing in my own life is that I was allowing those things to be excuses. And yet there were other pockets in my day where I'm like, okay, my family's here. It's later in the evening. We're all settled down. I don't actually need my phone in this moment, but I want it. You know, and that was like the bigger thing was like, but I want this thing. There are other things that would be more beneficial for me, but I'm more apt to just pick up the easy thing.
Yeah. And I think that a lot of times I'll even justify and be like, oh, well, I've got my Kindle on my phone, or I've got, you know, like there's things that are, you know, reasonable for me to use on my phone, but it's a different experience and it does different things, triggers different things, even in my brain. I feel like when I will pick up my Kindle instead of my Kindle app, or, you know, like it's a different thing.
It's wild. The Kindle's wild to me, because I read on my Kindle almost every day, and I call that unplugged time. Like I think it's because you can't go anywhere else on the Kindle. Yeah. You're there to read a book. You're not there to like, they have like a web browser, but like no one
the most inefficient
it.
Web browser.
But like, I'll carry my Kindle with me to like the coffee shop, the grocery store, the waiting room, you know? And it's, I think the thing or the difference is that it's like, okay, but if I have my Kindle on my phone, I know I'm going to check out to check into something else because I have it right there. It's right there in my vicinity.
Or I'm still having notifications dropping down onto the screen while I'm reading, or people can reach me. It's just, it's a different, I think of my Kindle as the same as a book, because there no one can reach me on it. It is isolated.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. No one can reach you. And I think that's the biggest thing. It's like, I wore an Apple Watch for years and I was like, I hate this. I want a watch that just like tells me the time. I don't want a mini computer on my wrist, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And really, because I have an Apple Watch too. And a lot of times I'm like, well, my phone won't make noise if I've got it on my wrist, or, you know, whatever. But it's this, like, I've realized I thought it was going to be doing so many more things for me. Like I was going to use the breathe function or the, you know, whatever. And I thought it was going to have all this functionality, when really what it is a notification device. Like that's really what I use it for.
Yeah. That's so funny, because it truly is. I did get I did get an Aura ring. So that
Want one of those. Yeah.
And it's been great, because it does get all that information that I've been looking for, but it doesn't tell me the time, and it doesn't tell me who texted me. And like, it's got its sole purpose and function. And I think that's the thing about the Apple Watch, is that it's like, it's made by Apple, and Apple is connected to most of our phones. And so naturally it's just going to be just in the same way that the iMac and like the MacBook, it's like, they're all just kind of bleeding into one another. Yeah. And so long as notifications are on, you're like, I'm always having to try to recenter and refocus on the present moment.
Yeah. It's to a point with me where I feel like I will have phantom notifications, like when I'm not wearing my watch, I'll think like, did my wrist just buzz? I don't even have it on. Like, what is wrong with me?
It's so true. It's so true.
Yeah. But I loved so many things that you had to say in the book. You've got so many great quotes from so many people talking about what this means, like how we've gotten away from even knowing how to be alone with ourselves and how to have that quiet. And I loved one of the things that you quoted was talking about the duty of the moment and like that we just need to focus on whatever it is that's in front of us, because I think we have trained ourselves out of that habit of just being able to focus. So how has that like really grown for you? Like even being able to apply that to your work, to obviously your parenting and being with people, but how has your focus increased since doing this?
I mean, it's increased exponentially, but I think in that vein, for a long time, it was like, not that I wouldn't do the necessary things like behind the scenes, but like I really wasn't putting like intention into those were the things you just check off the list, right? Like you don't think that much about them. And that is the ordinary moments of daily life, whether it's changing the diaper, or it's taking out the trash, it's cleaning the bedroom or whatever. I think that because of technology, we've become wired and expectant for like the bigger things, the bigger moments, the bigger emails, the bigger posts, the virality of it all. And so when I first started unplugging, like I really had to learn how to just be in the moment for what the moment was. And I remember one of the first things that I did in unplugging was just turning off my phone and getting down on the ground to be with my daughter. And like she was very young at the time and just like, toddling around the room, playing, not even forming words. And there were many moments that I felt like, man, this is a really mundane. And I want to spend my time elsewhere where I feel like I can measure it and I feel like I can know that I'm being productive. But I would make myself stay in those moments because I'm like, but like, what if this is the stuff, Like, what if this is the important stuff and I'm going to miss it because I'm always waiting for the next thing that makes me feel approved or makes me feel like I'm worth something. And so from that came this ability to monotask, which is really foreign to us because we like to multitask. We like to do several things at once because we think it's more efficient. But I've really learned that like having a single-minded focus on the thing right in front of you and then moving to the next thing and the next thing, like I feel like I focus a lot more. I feel like I'm actually a lot more productive, but I also feel a lot more satisfaction because I'm looking at each task being like, okay, how can I be intentional with this rather than being hurried or rushed or feeling like getting on to the next thing? Like, I think for me, what I felt like before I started unplugging was like, I could give so much time and focus and energy to my work, but there were other things in my life that I felt like, oh, I forgot it's so and so's birthday. I've got to get a gift. And then I'm like flying to Target before the birthday party to throw together a gift or, like little things like that, that I was like, I really do want to be a lot more intentional with that. Like, I want to take every act and treat it as an act of love, but I needed to find more margin in my life. I needed to find more space. And like, it's funny because like even today, tonight, I have a one of those like, have you ever heard of the blind date with a book parties?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, that's
Like
fun.
you like wrap up a book and then you write like a little description on the front of it. And then people come together and like you swap books, like based on what you read on the front that you think it's a good book or not, But even that, like, I feel like me a few years ago would have just like barely gotten it together, found a book off the shelf, wrapped it up, showed up to the party. And I felt like this week it's like, oh, I ordered the book ahead of time. I wrapped it. I was thoughtful with it. I got to add a few little things to it. And it was like because I did a single-minded focus task rather than trying to do that with 18 million other things.
I love that. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately. I just started working for a company where I facilitate like online working sessions where you're just supposed to focus on one thing. And so it's been really interesting to be like learning more about this and thinking about it, how different it is for us to just really hone in. I'm curious, do you know your Enneagram number?
I'm a four wing three.
Okay, because I'm a three. And so many of the things that you talked about in this book, I was like, ah, because I think we get so much of our validation from being efficient and being productive and feeling like we're checking things off. And so when you have to like scale that back, it can feel a little unmooring. Like, wait a minute. Like this is how like my existence works. And so to like really have to pause that. And I really noticed it when you were talking about like your daughter going out and jumping in the puddles. And it's like,
the puddles. Yeah.
Because I've had so many times with my kids where it's like, can we get to the point? Can we jump, you know, like through the hoops here? Like we got to hit these milestones or whatever. And so it's like so hard to just be like, oh no, this is the thing. The thing is being here
this
for
is
the
it.
Puddles or the Legos or the whatever. Like it's, and now it's, you know, I have an 18-year-old. It's listening to him talk about film equipment, but it's that same idea of like having to be present and interested when it's not necessarily productive.
And it's that, like, because I know with me, like, because I am that wing three, I've definitely taken and retaken the test to like say I think I'm a three, but then somebody told me that's actually the most four thing that I could ever do. But it's like, even with my daughter, like going through all of these like milestones, like you were saying, I was like, we got to hit the milestone. This is the most important thing. And then I look back and I think, well, it all kind of happened. Whether I pushed it or not, it all happened, but I was like the impatient one in that. And I wish that I had savored some of that more or like understood, okay, once this happens, once you reach this milestone, you're never going backwards again, you know? And so it's like, it was way more for a long time about the finished product than it was about the process. And now I feel like, oh, so much of life is the process. It's just the day-to-day duty of the moment, as you were saying.
Yeah. I'm trying to think about that so much right now because I have been very much that way. Like, okay, we're on to the next grade. We're on to the next, you know, whatever it is. But my son is a senior this year. And it's like, there's so much to do. There's college applications and there's like all these things that we've got to figure out. But I also don't want to miss like, the last year he's really here, that he's really home.
Yeah.
And so like trying to balance that out. And I'm glad that I read this book now, right before his senior year is starting, because it is causing me to pause and be like, okay, wait a minute. Yeah. Like college applications right now feel like a full-time job, but I want to have those moments with him. Like I want to make the memories. I want to make sure that I'm present. I'm single-minded when we are around, that there is that time in the day where I'm putting down the phone for all my kids. Like I don't have to be plugged in. And as someone who, you know, owns their own business, does a lot of freelance work and that sort of thing, I've heard even people say like, don't answer emails in weird off hours, because then you train people to expect to hear from you in those times. And so it's like giving yourself those boundaries is also protecting yourself for the future and setting up expectations of what people can expect for you to do.
Absolutely. And I feel like that's the same for like, you know, the people that we work with, for our kids. Like I know for like our kids, I feel like we're either going to be models of the way that we are hooked up to technology, or we're going to be managers of it. But I've seen that with a lot of friends and a lot of people that like, at first, when the topic of unplugging comes up, like they don't even want to, like you can see people literally just kind of shut off from the conversation when you say it, because people don't want to talk about it and people don't want to admit that there's something going on or that maybe some of us are too plugged in. But then it's so funny how like give some time and they must be thinking about it, because they come back around and they're like, oh, well, I actually tried it and it was like really awesome. And this happened and that happened. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, you know, because I'm not trying to tell anybody this is what you have to do. I think tech is a really like delicate thing. And it's actually a very like, it's a new thing. Like we're only like a little bit more than a decade into this constant connectivity. And so everybody has to navigate it how they're going to navigate it. But I don't know. It's just funny to see like the people that do try, they're like, oh, maybe there is something here, but it's uncomfortable. For sure, uncomfortable.
Well, and I loved what you were saying about even doing the Sabbath and like setting that time aside. That feels so outrageous, I think, to a lot of us. But there are even like certain Jewish creators that I follow on Instagram. And, you know, this one gal, she'll be like, this is what I'm planning to, you know, read on my Sabbath. And these are the things that we've made to eat and all this stuff. And when she comes back and she's like, yeah, I finished this whole like tome of a book. And like, we feasted on all the food that we had already like prepped for ourselves. It's like, man, that sounds great. Like, I think, and you, I mean, you talk about that in the book that we feel like we don't have the time to slow down, but really the opposite is true.
Yes. And it is countercultural. I mean, like no mistake of that. Like, I know that there are a lot of people of Jewish culture that like follow the Sabbath, but like a lot of people like within faith don't observe a Sabbath.
Oh, yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
It has been one of the most redemptive rhythms for me, you know? And it is one of those things where you are tempted every week to say, I don't have the time for this. Like, or a week goes where I'm like, well, it didn't really get to plug in as much as I needed to. And like, you know, she was sick and this happened and that. So I could really just use that Saturday morning to power through. But 9 times out of 10, I choose to do the Sabbath because it is a release of control. It is my way of just saying, you know what? I'm not holding the world together. And also, I'm not above receiving a good gift. And the gift is rest. And I need to rest beyond just a good 7 hours of sleep at night, you know? And it's so, I mean, it's so life-giving. It's so refreshing. And it's like you said, like, I can walk into the Sabbath and be like, this is the book that I want to read this weekend. And if I'm not scrolling on social media and I'm not on email, I actually have plenty of time to like read that book. And it doesn't even require me to like go off from the rest of my family or anything. Like a lot of times I'll just plop down to read a book right where my daughter is playing. And she seems like very content to just have me there in the space. And her posture is completely different than if I'm sitting in front of her and I'm on my phone. Like I can see a completely different posture. And so it's, you know, I think that's one of the things that a lot of people are like, oh, but like with kids, you can't really do this. And I'm like, yeah, but like if I can model these rhythms to her, maybe she'll remember them. And years later from now in our tech saturated world, maybe she'll say, huh, I think there was something there to that.
Yeah. Well, and you talk about remembering your mom being at the table every morning and having her Bible out and like that being so impactful to you without her directly telling you anything to do. I think there is so much of that that modeling can do. And I think there was another part of the book where you were talking about, I think it was a quote from someone that the rhythms, like the ordinary things in our homes are like what make the culture of our homes. I'm not quoting it correctly, but it's the those very everyday kinds of things that
And they're and like you said, they're everyday. It's like the most magical, mystical tradition that we have in our family is every Friday we do Pizza Friday and we like order a pizza and we watch a movie together. And like I'll choose a movie or Lane will choose a movie or we'll watch the movie with Novi, you know? And it's like that's a very ordinary thing that anybody could arguably do each week. And yet there's so much meaning to it because we've given it that meaning, because we've built that tradition over time. And that's, I also think too, like, I think we're very much like all or nothing people in the sense of we're like, okay, well, like I read this book and now like every day we're going to sit down at the table and we're going to have a family dinner and no phones are going to be allowed. And it's like, okay, like, can we just chill for a second? Cause like, maybe we don't need a complete overhaul, but like one night a week, do we want to do this? One night a week, do we want to have like an intentional date night at home? It's like, start small and carve out those weekly or those monthly rhythms. And you will see in your spirit, oh, this is the difference. And it comes down to presence.
Yeah. And it's so easy to want to jump to the overhaul, to want to be like, let's do this whole new thing. I mean, I loved even when you were saying, like, when you started doing the Sabbath thing and you guys had the prayer and the reading and the, like, this is what it's going to be. And then it was like, oh, wait, this isn't real. Like, we're not really doing that. It can be simpler than that. But we want to make it like establish it and like have some big transformation. And I think it can be hard to think that those little things can make the difference, but they really can. And that is what is more sustainable in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the little things that add up. And it's often the overhauls that they do fail a lot of times. I mean, there's a select few of us that we pick something and we intentionally stick with it and it's good and it's great. But a lot of times it's just like you get a few days in and then you're like, wait, what? Like, I don't have the discipline to really back this up.
Or the actual time that I thought I did, or whatever reason it is, like the overhauls are not often sustainable. And I like that about your book too, that you do come in with a very like reasonable mindset. I think anybody could look at a book called The Unplugged Hours, where you're challenging people to, you know, put down, is it 1,000 hours? I'm going to get it wrong. Yeah. You're challenging people to put it down 1,000 hours in a year. And that can sound like, oh my gosh, this person is going to come at me with all of these facts about how, like you were saying, the extremes of getting a flip phone and everything. And you really weren't that way at all in this book. It came at it from a very, like, you make your own rules. You decide what this looks like for you and means for you. And I really appreciated that it wasn't like, and I've read enough of your stuff to know that it wouldn't be off-putting, but I think just the topic is so triggering for us.
Yeah.
That it's like,
well, I mean, you read Fighting Forward, and I loved Fighting Forward, but I mean, I look at that book sometimes and I'm like, it was intense.
It was. But it was good.
It was intense. And it was good. And at a certain point for a certain person, they need those fight songs. And that's what they are.
Yeah.
But I think there was a part of me that, like, in becoming a mom, realized, oh, wait, I've missed something, you know? Because, like, kids enter into the mix and all of a sudden you're like, oh, the best laid plans don't always work. And there are other factors at play. And there has to be grace, because every day we have to extend grace. And so I think that was a part of this that got woven into the Unplugged Hours. And what I wanted more than anything was for people to not feel shame when they're reading it. Because I know I've read a lot of the tech books and I do feel like, oh, I'm too plugged in, or oh, that statistic made me feel ashamed. Or anyone that's ever looked at their screen time. Like, I've never looked at my screen time and ever felt good about my life, you know? Like, and so I just decided to turn it off and to track it in a different way. And so I think that, like, by trying to make it flexible, by trying to make it like you make it whatever you need it to be, but like I can say from the experience, like, you will get something out of this.
Yeah, absolutely. I have to go back to Fighting Forward for a minute and I hear what you're saying, but I think I went back and I read like the last half of it just at the end of last year. So it was still a little bit more fresh. And the thing that sticks with me from that book, because, you know, books are long, you don't remember every word that you encounter in a book. But the thing that sticks with me from that book is how, when we show up consistently in people's lives, that like how impactful that just continuing to show up can be. And I've seen that play out with like my boyfriend's kids and different relationships I've had. And I think that message of showing up carries into the Unplugged Hours, because by putting our phones down, we are able then to be able to show up more and be present for people in real ways that aren't technologically centered. And so I loved in that way, feeling like that was kind of a carryover from that book.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I love Fighting Forward. I do. I just think it's interesting because it's one of the things, and I was just writing about this, like, before this call, of one of the things that I feel like kind of fell off of me in the Unplugged Hours was this need to know it all and have all the answers.
Yes.
I feel like in this day and age, you step onto the internet and it's like, everybody has the answers. Everybody has the solutions. You can very easily feel like you are behind. And I think that for a long time, especially with Fighting Forward and who I was in that season, I felt like, oh, well, if I can just give people the answers, then we're good. But it's funny how the more I unplugged, the more I was like, you know, I don't know. And I also don't feel like I have to know. And the more I take a break from the screens to realize, like, I'm not trying to show up to be an expert in any other area of my life except for, like, online. I'm trying to prove myself as, like, a know-it-all. And that was something that I was like, I don't really want that anymore. Yeah. I would much rather be a student. I would much rather be in process. There's so much freedom in me being able to say, you know what? I don't know right now. And maybe one day I will. But I think that's, like, freeing for our kids. I think that's freeing for friendship. Like,
yeah,
I've let go of that need to fill the space with words and solutions and disciplines and all of that, because sometimes life is just hard. And let's be real, sometimes with our phones, like, we're on our phones because we're uncomfortable, because we're sad, because life is hard. And we would rather watch TikTok videos than have to go journal, reflect, and face that. And I don't shame anybody for that, because I still have days where that's the case, where I'm like, I don't want to face this.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go and entertain myself. We're all humans. We're all trying, you know?
Yeah.
So grace for the days when we get it wrong, because we will.
Yeah. Yeah. And I loved that part of the book too. That one really hit me kind of square between the eyes. And I think part of it is getting more unplugged, and part of it is getting older, where you're like,
yeah,
wait a minute. Because I remember in my 20s, and I've talked about this on the podcast a lot, like, being this abrasive, like, thinking I knew everything, and you would want me to tell you about these things that I've figured out, and so I'm gonna tell you. And, you know, like, I think I ended up pushing a lot of people away, and it wasn't until I had to overhaul my whole own life by being like, okay, wait a minute, I'm willing to put everything on the chopping block, because this is unhealthy and scary. But even more so in the last few years, it's been like, I mean, I turned 40 this year, and it's this, I think the last few years it was like, I don't know anything. I don't even know what to tell you. I'm barely surviving here. But instead, trying to come back to this place of, because that can leave you very insecure, and coming back to this place of, okay, I know some things, but I'm always willing to change my mind when presented with new information. And I'm more like the person who's maybe like a step ahead of other people, not like, I've mastered it. Like, I can share with you from what I've learned and try to go from there, but relieving that pressure of like, you've got to be the expert, because that's how you build a platform. That's how you build a podcast. That's how and I'm so tired of trying to do that.
I know. And I'm not like, it's not, and I say in the book, you know, like, expertise is important. We want expertise. Yeah. Yes. But like, it's exhausting. I feel like sometimes you step online and you feel like you're having, like, everybody's like peddling their business cards in your face.
Yes.
And I'm like, so when do we get to just be humans? Or, you know, like, for me, I realized a lot with, like, my friendships of, like, if something were to happen, I would want to explain it away with words, you know, like, or like, there's purpose in this, there'll be purpose in your darkness or whatever. And I'm like, you know what, now what I do, like, literally right before this phone call or right before this interview, like, heard from a friend some pretty hard news, and I responded back, like, obviously with encouragement, but I just said, there are no words. And that's my go-to response lately, is there are no words. And that's enough. Like, we don't have to fill the space with words, with answers, with all of our Google results. Like, we can just be in the not knowing, and, like, find God in that.
Yeah. I think one of the most powerful things, like, when I was going through my divorce and my brother's death and, like, all these really hard things was when friends would come alongside me and be like, this is awful. It was like, thank you. Like, I just need someone to agree. Like, this really sucks.
Yeah.
Not like it's going to be for a purpose, or it's going to, no. Can we just all hold space together that this is awful? And we'll get through it, but this sucks. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, this is bad. This is really bad. You know,
like, sometimes you can feel crazy. So if you're like, am I the only one who thinks this is as bad as this is? And just validating someone else going through hard things, I think can be the biggest favor that we do for them.
Yeah, it's so true. That's so good.
Well, another thing that you talked about in like learning how to be unplugged is when you did, you would put down the phone a lot, realizing, and I think it kind of piggybacks off what we're talking, but how much distraction was in your own head. Like how much the words in your own head are their own thing that keeps you from being present in the moment.
Totally. And that comes down to like your thoughts and what your thoughts are. And I would notice that a lot of my thoughts that were already there, whether they were lying dormant or they just were like hiding behind a bush or something in my mind, you know, like if I were to see something on social media that triggered something, then all of those thoughts would come to the forefront. And they weren't good thoughts. They were generally pretty negative thoughts, you know? And that was a big thing and a journey that I'm still on today of like cleaning up the thought narratives, like retiring old lies. Like, I think we talk a lot like in about like taking thoughts captive. And it's like, well, what does that really mean? Like there has to be an actual physical process to this. And for me, I found it through like I call it, there was a chapter that it didn't make it into the book. There ended up just being too many things to say. But like the process that I've been going through is like reframing, which is like taking a thought and like, can I see it in a different light? Like I can still see the reality of what it is, but I can reframe it so that it's a helpful thought. It's not a hindering thought. And that's a process that I think we do again and again, season after season, you know, moment after moment. But there was a part in the book about like going away to a ranch in Colorado where like I was surrounded by other women in my industry, but I felt so underqualified. I felt so discounted. I felt so overlooked. And like no one made me feel that way, but that's how I showed up. And so it's no surprise that I felt that way because I felt like I was a shell of myself. And that was when I realized like, oh, you can be completely powered down. You could be literally in the middle of the wilderness with no service and still not know how to be present to the moment because you're spiraling in your own head. And that was really like a wake up call for me of like, oh, there's more here. It's not just the phone. You can distract yourself from the moment in other ways.
Yeah, I loved what you had to say about working on that inner life, that that is so important. And I think a lot of us probably can't even get to that point unless we do silence what's happening on the phone, because we don't even realize that we have that work to do if we're constantly distracted. Yeah. But I loved what you talked about, like actually writing down the lies that are cropping up in your head and like having that to actually work from and think about and process. I think that's such important work that we need to be thinking more about.
Yeah. Like once it's become a process for me of like, oh, okay, that popped up and I don't know how I really feel about that, but I'd really like to reframe that thought. And so instead of just like letting the thought pass by, it's like, can I catch that thought and can I spend some time with it later? You know? And it's like, it doesn't have to be like a 3-hour process. You don't have to like go away to like eat, pray and love your way through it. Like, literally, it'd be lovely, but a lot of us are like, we have to be in daily life. But like, I also can like sit down with a 99-cent notebook and that thought and maybe think about it and journal about it and pray about it and see what comes from it rather than just accepting it or distracting myself away from it. And so it's like that building of the inner world, like, man, it's hard, it's absolutely hard. And like, there are times where like I don't want to do it, but I try to imagine it kind of like a house that you're furnishing. And every time you do have a milestone or a breakthrough or something that you come to learn or understand about yourself, it's like a new piece of furniture in that house. Mm. Or it's like being able to look at an old piece of furniture that you've just allowed to sit there in the corner functioning, but like not really serving, like not bringing any joy. And that kind of like a thought that you're uprooting and saying, you know what? This doesn't get to be here anymore. We're going to replace this with something that we love. And like, that's been a really redemptive process for me, that like hasn't taken 80 hours and going off the grid, but little by little, the more I cleared out the noise, the more I'm like, oh, I'm thinking about these things in the grocery store line. I'm thinking about these things while I'm sitting outside having my morning coffee. And like that inner growth starts to happen in all these like really unexpected places.
Yeah, I loved how you called you. There was a quote that you mentioned of somebody who said, like, I don't like to go into my mind
Oh,
alone because
yep.
it's like a
Anne
bad
Lamott.
neighborhood. Yes, but you added to it, like, I don't like to do that, but I want to be the cleanup crew. And it's like,
Yeah,
yes,
yep.
like, don't just leave it the bad neighborhood. Like, let's work on
No,
it.
I know. And Anne is like such, I love her. She's one of my favorite authors. She's such a broody writer, like that she just like loves to be in her own misery. And she'd be the first to say that, you know. But like, I don't know, there's a part of me in it. Maybe it's like all the years of therapy and like my mental health medication, you know, that I'm like, no. I really can't live in a dark place. I really got to figure this out because I want to be joyful. I want to be happy. I want to not be tortured writer.
I would like to enjoy my life,
Yeah,
not
yeah.
stay there. Yeah. No, I love that, and I think that's important work, and it's like all these steps that we can be doing to quiet the noise, but
Yeah.
also like better ourselves, better how we're able to show up in those moments, be able to be present. I thought you did a beautiful job. There were so many sentences in this book where I was like, that was just really well crafted. Like, you just are
Thank
such
you.
a beautiful writer, and you did a great job portraying a lot of information and a lot of great guidance in a way that didn't feel like you were an expert. You were just allowing us to like come in alongside you in this process that you went through. So
Thank
I
you.
like I knew I would like it because you wrote it. But I loved it so much more than I expected in a very personal way. And I think a lot of people are going to get a ton out of this book.
Thank you so much. That means so much to me. And I honestly think too, like who I probably like the person that I was like before I sat down to write this book is completely different than like the person afterwards. And I think that's because I made myself be unplugged in the process of writing the book. And so it wasn't letting all these other voices in. It was getting back to a voice that I knew was mine and had been there from the beginning. And not that I'd lost it along the way, but I think we live in such an age in a world where you can very easily be like, but I could sound like that, and I could sound like that, and I could sound like that. And the more I got away, the more I was like, oh, this is who wanted to tell the story all along. And she didn't want to tell people what to do. And she didn't want to give people a formula because most times we don't need a formula. We just need someone to come alongside us and say, like, hey, you're not alone. This is hard. This is bad. Sometimes this sucks. And I'm with you. And here's what worked for me. I'll tell you a few stories. And so I'm really very proud of the book because it feels very much like, oh, this is the fullness of the writer I've wanted to be.
And you just did a beautiful job. And I loved
Thank
seeing
you.
that transformation and that growth in the book. I think a lot of people will have that kind of transformation as they read and participate with the book. And there were so many things, like I had so many more things in my notes and things that people I think are going to get out of it and stories that I loved. And I just can't wait for people to get in there and think about their own social media usage and like all these things that you talked about in the book that we didn't even touch on, but people just need to go get it because
I love
it's going to
that. Thank
be
you.
transformative. So I so appreciate you coming and chatting with me today. It was so fun.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. It's always so much fun. And thank you so much. I'm so excited for the book.
Yeah, I hope the book launch doesn't just force you to have to be plugged in more than you want to be.
We're taking breaks. We're
Yes,
good.
good.
We got good
Good, good.
breaks. So
I'm so glad. All right. Thanks so much, Hannah.
absolutely.
All right, ladies, that is it for this episode of Live Well Anyway. I had so much fun talking to Hannah. It was just so nice to get really real with somebody and relate to each other about these same kind of frustrations and things we've had to check about ourselves and see all of that in somebody else and have this really great encouragement to be able to step away from devices, take a little bit of a break. It really has been life-changing since I read her book. Just thinking about those things, having it play in the back of my mind that I don't want to constantly be plugged in. And there's probably something deeper going on if I am feeling that pull and that need to just constantly be distracted. So it was so great talking with her. You can find the link to her book as well as other things that we talked about by going to mackenziekoppa.com/podcast or by swiping up in whatever app you are listening to the show on. You should be able to find all the show notes there. And if you are in the app, same iTunes or Spotify, and you just wanted to take a second and leave a little rating and review for the show, that would make such a difference. It's a big time of year when people are back in their cars again and they're starting to listen to things. So it's so great when we can get the word out about the show to even more women who would find it beneficial. So if you would just leave a rating and review or tell one of your friends about the show, I would so deeply appreciate it. All right, that is it for this week's episode. Until next week, when I will be back with Scott H. Young, and we will be talking about some study skills and how to learn things, some great stuff that we can pass on to our kids. But until then, go be bold and gracious.
Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location while supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.